We were talking about the vitalists and the idealists. Videsh is saying that he is a vitalist and his wife is an idealist. So let us try to understand these two words, because otherwise the story will not be interesting. What is a vitalist and what is an idealist? A vitalist is one who is full of vitality, full of force, a great urge to act and to fly. You might say vitalist is the prince of air. Supposing somebody had shoes which can fly, so that as soon as you put on the shoes, you can fly in the air, then that will be an image of the prince of air. And a vitalist is of that kind, one who can fly in the air. And therefore he can imagine very widely, and he can always expand. As much as the air expands, so the vitalist can expand. The vitalist therefore always bubbles with life, is always full of enthusiasm, moves forward, flies high, expands widely. This is the vitalist. What is an idealist? Yes? Good. Wonderful. I am very pleased. An idealist is one who always considers what should be. The idealist does not take the world as it is, does not want the world to be as it is. The idealist wants the world to be quite different, as it ought to be, as it should be. If people are poor in this world, idealist says, I don't want people to be poor. If people are weak in the world, idealist doesn't want people to be weak. If there is injustice in the world, the idealist says, no, there should be no injustice. If there is oppression in the world, he says, no oppression in the world. The idealist also rises high, but not like the vitalist. The vitalist rises high because of his enthusiasm, simply. Because of his purpose to grow. But idealist wants to grow up because he wants to catch something that is high and wants to bring down on the earth. That is an idealist. He visualizes something ideal, high above. Idealist looks upward and then he catches the ideal and wants to realize it here. But then Videsh said that that is our conflict. So you may ask the question, if vitalist is like this, if idealist is like this, what is the conflict? Why should there be conflict between the two? Yes? Yes? But what is good and what is bad? That is the question. Conflict arises because you differ as to what is good and what is bad. Yes? Yeah, that's one. But in this case, both of them would like to study. Vitalist also says study is good. Idealist also says study is good. So why should there be conflict? I shall tell you why. The vitalist is moved by one great power in human beings, and that is desire. And the idealist is moved by controlling desire. This is the main problem. Therefore, the one moved by desire, the idealist says, we should control desire. You can never realize ideals in the world without controlling desire. You will see in everywhere in the world, anybody who wants to realize an ideal has to control desire. It's impossible to allow desire to run without any control and yet to realize ideals. This is the conflict. So he said, I don't believe in controlling desire. That was the main problem of Pradesh. I want to grow, I want to develop, to run fast, to create all the time new forms, all the time. And she all the time controls me and says, no, this is not right, this is not correct, this is bad, you should control this, control here, control there. He says, I'm tired of it. What is this constant tension? I want to do this. She says, no, take care. This is not correct. The idea will be disturbed. He himself is so frank with this young man, with another. He tells out the real problem of his life. And then he says, this white house is a house of great quarrel. It's a quarrel. There is a conflict. A short conversation, but he has put down the big problem of human life. Most of the problems of human life are the problems of relationship. In fact, there is a saying by one great poet, there are connections. One good sentence. There are connections. The world is nothing but connections. Everyone has connections. Right from the birth, you have connections. All connections are relationships. There are connections. All connections are relationships. And all problems are problems of relationships. All problems. You examine any problem in the world, it's a problem of relationships. There are friendships and there are quarrels. There are pulls and there are counterpulls. One is big, another is small. The small wants to be big and the big wants to swallow the small. This is the constant problem in life. There is a very nice sentence in the Upanishad. This world is such that eater eats something else, but is himself being eaten by something else. The eater eats something else, but the eater himself is being eaten by somebody else. So you might say that in this world is a world of relationships in which is a constant eating. Each one tries to eat up the other one. And the vitalist doesn't mind. He wants to eat and be eaten. The idealist says, no, that is not correct. There should be control of eating, control in being eaten. Only then you can establish an ideal. This is the problem. having heard this story, Videsh now has gone, having told this story, he goes away, but Anav remains greatly disturbed. He had felt that he has come to a beautiful house, and he had imagined that as in his house, there was such a great harmony. The grandfather, sister and the brother, there was no quarrel. Everything was harmonious. So pleasant, full happiness. But here, there is no harmony, there is quarrel. He therefore wanted to see this Rupa as soon as he comes. He was waiting for her Rupa. And now, within a few days, she arrives. Now let us enter into the conversation that takes place between Anav and Rupa. As soon as the young boy meets Rupa, enters into her room, she welcomes him with a great affection. Great affection. And she says the following: I have seen you earlier. Rupa has a great capacity of what is called clairvoyance. You know the word clairvoyance? Clairvoyance is a capacity to see that it is not visible. Normally we only see that it is visible. You open your eyes and see all the things around. But clairvoyance is the power to see which is not visible. You can cross the borders of the walls. You can see beyond. You can see the past which is not normally known. If a clairvoyant sees you, he can say that you have such and such father, such and such mother, such and such, such members of your family. It happened like that few years ago, which you have not told anybody. Such and such a thing is happening now in your mind. A clairvoyant can read the mind, can see what you are thinking in your mind, and can also sometimes see what is to happen to you in the future. This is the power which some people have in this world. And Rupa had this power of clairvoyance. So she said, I have seen you before, and I know you quite well. So immediately he feels greatly attracted to Rupa and sits down like a pupil. And then she says, you are a very nice boy. You are going to be a great philosopher in the future, but right now you are totally disturbed, because she understands his mind. And then she explains what is the disturbance in his mind. Because of her capacity to understand, she says, you are disturbed by three things. First, by the idea of ambition. Secondly, by the idea of intellectual understanding.
third day, you are disturbed by disharma. Three things. You have ambition, idea of ambition, idea of intellectual understanding, and the idea of disharma. And she said, you are disturbed because these three things are opposed to your nature. In your nature, there is no ambition. In your nature, your understanding is of a different kind. You have understanding, but not intellectual understanding. You have another kind of capacity of knowing. And you are disturbed by disharmony because your being is a being of harmony. As soon as she uttered these words, it seemed a big cloud in the mind of Anarth got shattered. He began to have some great clarity. The big weight is lifted away from his mind. And she asks, why is ambition troubling me? So she said, the idea of ambition has been planted by Videsh in your mind from outside. It's not in you. Videsh has put that idea of ambition in your mind and you don't understand. So he said, is ambition bad? Is wrong? So she said, there is a difference between two words, ambition and aspiration. And there's a difference between the two. Aspiration is good, is ideal. Ambition is wrong, she says. You should have aspiration but not ambition. And the difference is very thin, very subtle. You must understand the difference. You are a boy full of aspiration. And not of ambition. Therefore, if ambition is thrown into your mind, it works like poison. And then you get disturbed. Now, what is the difference between aspiration and ambition? Can anybody tell me? Ambition and aspiration, yes?
Ambition is when you aim.
Yes?
And aspiration is when you are open to something, you want to learn about things.
Good. I understand what you try to say, although it is not exactly what you have said, but what you try to say is correct. You said that in ambition there is an aim. In aspiration also there is an aim. But there is a difference. In ambition, you have an aim to become bigger and bigger yourself, to be greater and greater yourself, and for yourself. In aspiration, you want to be greater, not for yourself. You want to be bigger, not for yourself. And you want to be bigger by offering. In ambition, there is you can become bigger by eating, by swallowing. But in aspiration, you become bigger by offering, by sacrificing, by self-giving. You offer yourself. You know the stories of offering many times. You have seen the stories of offering? When you can offer yourself for somebody else, you sacrifice. You have heard the story of Tale of Two Cities? Heard of the story? Tale of Two Cities? No? You ask your teacher one day. It's a beautiful story of self-giving. It is a story in which, for the sake of the woman whom he loved, he went to the gallows and sacrificed himself so that she may become happy. He offered himself to be guillotined so that she, whom he loved, would be happier in her life. There was such a situation which had come in his life where he could make her happy, and this was a good occasion, and he offered himself. This is aspiration, not ambition. He aspired that she should be happy, even if it means my own annihilation. To aspire is to offer yourself to the divine more and more. You give yourself. When I say, I aspire, you aspire to be servant of God. You aspire to be slave of God. You want to serve the highest ideal in the world. Therefore you suffer in spite of the fact that you have to suffer, you do it. That is aspiration. You aspire that in the world everybody should be happy. Even if it means that I have to suffer, it does not matter. But everybody else should be happy. That is aspiration. So she explained to him that your nature is the nature of self-giving. So when the idea of ambition was put by Videsh in your mind, you got disturbed. He put into your mind, you should be great, you should be great, you should be wonderful, big, you should have a big name. It's a wrong twist given to you. It does not harmonize with your nature. That is your problem. Now, you have to work in such a way that ambition is thrown away but aspiration remains. This was the first answer she gave, and he was so happy to receive this answer. So happy. You know, when your mental problem is resolved, you know how happy you become. No? You have experience? When a problem is resolved in your mind, how happy you become. You have seen it? You have experienced it? How happy you become when your mind problem is resolved. And then you ask the second question. Yes. What is the second point she had made to him? First, ambition is the first problem. Second is intellectual understanding. She said is the second problem. She said, you are a boy of overstanding, not understanding, but overstanding. Let me write down this word. Understanding and overstanding. Supposing this chalk piece is here, lying here. Now you can see it from two sides. You can see from that side, you can also see where I can see from above. You can see from below and you can see from above. Which is a better way of seeing? Yes? Above. Good. But normally, we always try to see from below. You are not able to rise up and see from above. You see, we are seeing this ground. It is seen from below. But if you were to be able to go in a helicopter and see from above, how would the whole ground look quite different? So, when you see things from above, it is overstanding. When you see things from below, it is understanding. So she said, your mind basically is a mind of overstanding. But you have been trapped now into the net of understanding. All your problems today are problems of understanding,
and you have your normal, natural tendency to overstand is gone. You had a capacity of overstanding until you came here, until you met Videsh. The moment you met him, there was this problem. Your overstanding disappeared, your understanding started, and your whole mind has been troubled since then. And we have seen this last few days, how this young boy was troubled in his mind. So she said, now you have to make another effort by which understanding becomes full, so full that you fly into overstanding. You have, as if you have fallen from overstanding into understanding, now you have to rise again and go into overstanding. The third problem is that of disharmony. Now, what was the problem? For the first time he learned that this house, which is a beautiful house, white house, is a house of quarrel. One is a vitalist, another is an idealist, and the two are not in harmony. There is a conflict between the two. So she said, you are not able to bear it because by nature you want harmony everywhere. Your very nature is a nature of harmony. But now that you see disharmony in this house, you are troubled. These are the few words that were exchanged between her and him. And he returned to his room, and his mind was so happy, after such a long time, but happy with some understanding, a new light as it were in his mind. And now he was eager to meet her as soon as possible again. Many questions had come up in his mind. It was not easy to meet her because she had a huge number of people who used to call upon her. Because she was clairvoyant, she could see many, many things. She could see the diseases in the body, where somebody has pain in one part of the body or the other. She could see the past and the present and the future. So many people used to come to her to consult her. So that's a huge number of people coming to her every day. It was very difficult to meet her. At last, after 1 week of waiting, he had one more chance of meeting her. And now this time, in 1 week, this young boy had grown so much inside. You know, there are moments in life when you grow up very quickly. There are moments when you grow very slowly. Have you seen this experience when you grow very fast and when you grow very slowly? There are moments when you feel within 1 week's time you are quite different. You see something for the first time, immediately you are transported into something new and you grow very fast. Normally we all go on plodding little by little. Our daily life is humdrum. Gradually there is a lot of lethargy, a lot of slowness. Things are to be done, will be done in due course, there is no hurry. But then there are moments when you begin to grow so fast, and every day you are moving forward. So within 1 week, this boy had grown so vast that when he met her now, after 1 week, he was able to ask some very important questions. And 3 questions were prominent in his mind. The first question was, you remember his grandfather, when he
left him, had told him a story. You remember the story? His grandfather had told him a story. Nobody remembers now. Yes? There was a story from the Upanishad. You remember that story? Yes? What was the story? Good. It was a story of Narad and Sanat Kumar. Right? Good. I am very pleased you remember the story. What is the story? Narad and Sanat Kumar? Yes?
Narad goes to Sanat Kumar and asks him to learn more.
To teach him more.
He is very young.
Good. And why does he want to learn more? Yes? Because he had sorrow in his heart. Excellent. Very good. You have not forgotten at all. Because he had sorrow in his heart. Yes?
And when you have sorrow, you are not knowledgeable.
Good. Excellent. This was exactly the question. So long as your sorrow, there is ignorance. You can remove sorrow only with knowledge. So now he asks the question, what is knowledge and what is ignorance? What is knowledge and what is ignorance? And you remember there were three words which were given earlier. Three very important words: information, ideas and knowledge. Right? You remember three words? So he asks this question, what is ignorance and what is knowledge? And she says, as long as you have information, you may have all the information, you may know that Himalayas is 29,000 feet high. Is information. It's not knowledge. You may have hundreds of ideas in your mind, he said. Ideas are not knowledge. What is information? Can anybody say what is information? Anybody? Yes?
Something
that you know, which is not knowledge. Something that you know, which is not knowledge. You are right. Something that you know.
Ideas?
No. Information is not ideas. Idea is different from information. Yes?
News?
Good. Yes? 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 Good. You have news that something is happening, but you don't have the knowledge of it. I'll give you a word to describe information. Disclosure of a fact. This is information. You know the meaning of disclosure? Close, you know the word close? To shut. Disclose is to open. So when the mind is open to a fact, it is information. Suppose, for example, somebody tells you, tomorrow evening there is going to be a big meeting in Oroville. Up till now you did not know, until I told you just now. But now is a disclosure of affairs. You are now being told. So, whatever, as he said, news, anything that comes now, is called information. Any disclosure of a fact is called information. This is a good definition of information. Disclosure of a fact. Now, what is ideas? Let us see, what is the meaning of an idea? Can anybody say what is an idea? Yes? Thought. Thought is an idea. Yes?
Something you want to do.
Something you want to do. It is actually an idea of a plan when you want to do something. Yes?
Something
about
how what you want to do.
Good. Yes?
An idea is a thought.
Pardon?
It's
a thought. An idea is, let us now try to define, just a disclosure of a fact. She explained to him what is an idea. An idea is a concept. An idea is a concept in which universals and particulars are related. I'll write down this. It's a difficult statement. A concept in which universals and particulars are related. When you get all these universals and particulars related, it becomes an idea. An idea in which there are only particulars is only an empty idea. One in which there are only universals is also an empty idea. Universals and particulars should be related. Now this is a very difficult answer that he got from Rupa and could not grasp immediately. And she said, you won't understand this very quickly. When you will become a philosopher, as you are going to be one day, you will understand it properly. But she said, neither of them is knowledge. Then what is knowledge? That was his second question, third question. What is knowledge? Now, if anybody can give me an idea as to what should be knowledge? Yes? Pardon?
Intelligence.
Intelligence. Yes? Excellent. Anybody else? Yes?
Something which you know.
Good. When you don't have sorrow, then it means your knowledge. Excellent. Excellent. I'm very happy to hear this. Yes? When you?
When you know perfectly.
When you know perfectly, yes, good idea. Knowledge is knowledge when you know perfectly. If you know partially, it is not knowledge. You should know perfectly. Excellent. All the three important ideas have come up now. Very good. Knowledge must be experienced first. Secondly, it should be experience of the perfect. And thirdly, when you have the experience of the perfect, you have no sorrow. All the three are answers that are completely correct. So write down. Knowledge is the experience of the perfect, having which there is no sorrow. And then she said, when you have the knowledge of the perfect, she gave a book of Upanishad in which there is a beautiful sentence, and she pointed out that sentence. This is the mark of knowledge, she says. When one finds oneself in all, and when one finds all in oneself, repeat, when one finds oneself in all, and when one finds all in oneself, and when one finds that one has become all, then you have knowledge, and then there is no sorrow. It's a great statement of knowledge. Now you will remember this statement, When one becomes, when one finds oneself in all, and when one finds all in oneself, and when one has become all, then you have the knowledge. He reflected, he went to his room and reflected all the time on this statement. Can you repeat the statement? Once more, can you repeat the statement? When one finds oneself in all, and when one finds all in oneself, and when one becomes all, right? Then one has the knowledge, and then one has no sorrow. The whole day he reflected and tried to become, to experience himself in all in himself, and he is himself becoming all. Have you made this exercise any time? You try. When you find yourself in all, you try sometime. When you try yourself, when one becomes, one finds in all, you are no more this one. This, what you call yourself, is no more yourself. When one finds oneself in all, and all in oneself, the whole day he spent in doing this. And fortunately, the next day he was able to meet her once again. And then he asked her, I want to become all. I have no ambition, but I aspire for becoming all. I want to give myself so that I may become all. I want to include all in myself so that nobody is separate from me. I am he and he is myself. Everyone, I feel one with them.
he asks how to do it. So she said, this is a long process by which knowledge is obtained, one becomes liberated, and one becomes perfect. Do not think that by living in this White House, you will have the experience that you want. This is the message to you. Do not think in this White House, by living where you are, where there is conflict between vitalism and idealism, and the narrow life in which we are all circumscribed, do not think you will have this experience. You must meet somebody. You must meet somebody who lives in all the time. Said, I too do not live in all. I still. Although she had power of farewell, she had good knowledge of many things, but she said, even I do not have that knowledge. You have to find somebody. You have to find somebody who is really living in all, who vibrates it all, who feels all. She gave the word, one who lives in cosmic consciousness. This is another word you must learn. One who lives in cosmic consciousness. There is a consciousness which is cosmic. We all live in small consciousness, no? Limited. I know only a little bit of myself. What I want, what I think, my small connection, my relationships, my small friendships, small battles of life. There's nothing more than that. She said there has to be a big expansion of your being, cosmic consciousness. So you must meet somebody who lives in cosmic consciousness. And even that is not enough. There is still a higher consciousness, which is called transcendental consciousness. I should use this word, huh? Transcendental consciousness, which transcend. You know the meaning of transcending. Have you heard this word transcending? To cross the borders, to go beyond. So even beyond the cosmos we go. We expand into the whole cosmos and still go beyond. Said when you do this, you find somebody who has lived in cosmic consciousness, who has lived in transcendental consciousness. Without meeting this, you cannot have this knowledge. By reading books, you cannot have it. By wandering in the world, you cannot have it. You must find somebody who lives in that consciousness. Went back to his room. next day, when Leela came to her room, she found a note in his room. And leaving in search of one who lives in cosmic consciousness and in transcendental consciousness. Please do not worry, I'll take care of myself. He had left White House, gone in search of this. He was in search of that by which ignorance can be removed, one can be liberated, and one can be converted. Alright? That's the story. Pardon? Now what happens to him, if you want to know, you should give me another week. Alright, we shall find out. Yes, certainly.
I want to announce, Kirin High classes will continue next week. I know.